playing second fiddle. I'm sure most of us have heard that saying before. It's used to refer to someone who has a secondary role. And it's usually not by choice. They wanted to play first fiddle, but someone else got the role instead. So they have to settle for playing second fiddle. And in that sense, most people play second fiddle reluctantly and sometimes even begrudgingly. They're not happy for the person who's playing first fiddle. They're jealous of them. They're envious of them. If the person playing first fiddle offered to swap, they do it in a heartbeat. This is basic human nature, isn't it? The desire to be first. The desire to play the primary role. The desire for everything to be about us. And so when we realise that we can never truly play first fiddle, we can only ever play second fiddle, this causes big problems for us. And we do everything we can to try to play first fiddle. What do I mean by this? God is the one who always plays first fiddle. He's the creator of all things, and he made everything for himself, for his own glory. But as sinful human beings, we don't like this about God. We're not happy about the fact that God always plays first fiddle. We want to play first fiddle. And so what do? We rebel against God. Instead of joyfully playing second fiddle to the God who is infinitely glorious and infinitely kind, we try to play first fiddle. We try to make everything about us, even though it's not. We try to be God, even though we're not. But when God saves us by his grace, when he enables us to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, he changes us from people who rebelliously try to play first fiddle to people who joyfully play second fiddle, who love playing second fiddle to God, who delight in playing second fiddle, who realize that this is what we were made for. We were made to play second fiddle to God. And when we do this willingly, we experience the joy that God made us to experience, the joy of knowing God and loving him. Joyfully playing second fiddle is the theme of the text we're going to look at this morning, which is John 3:22-30. Now, the beginning of this passage is about baptism. And up until this point, John the Baptist has been playing first fiddle in terms of baptism. He's the guy who's been doing all the baptizing while pointing people to Jesus, the Messiah. But then all of a sudden, Jesus starts baptizing people too. Just a quick note of clarification. A few verses after our text, at the beginning of chapter 4, John the Apostle makes it clear that it was actually Jesus' disciples who did the baptizing and that Jesus himself didn't baptize anyone. So in our text, when John the Apostle says Jesus is baptizing, he means it in the sense that Jesus' disciples are doing it under his authority. Now, when John the Baptist's disciples find out that Jesus is baptizing people, they're concerned. They're worried that John, who's been playing first fiddle when it comes to baptizing people, is going to be relegated to playing second fiddle. And that'd mean they'd end up being disciples of the guy playing second fiddle. And Jesus' disciples would be the disciples of the guy playing first fiddle. And so they raise their concern with John. Let's look at John 3:22-26. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now, John was also baptizing at Ainon near Salem, because there was plenty of water. And people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing, and everyone is going to him." John's disciples are worried he's going to lose his esteemed position of playing first fiddle when it comes to baptism. And that means they lose their esteemed position of being disciples of the guy playing first fiddle. So how would John respond? Will he have the same concern as them? Is he worried about being relegated to second fiddle? Let's look at verses 27 to 30. To this John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, 'I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him.' The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less." Beautiful words, aren't they? John joyfully plays second fiddle. He rejoices in the fact that Jesus is becoming greater and he's becoming less. He uses an analogy of a groom and the best man. The groom's wedding day isn't about the best man. It's about the groom. It's his wedding day. The best man is there to support the groom and to share in his joy. The best man's joy isn't in himself. It's in the groom. He's happy because the groom's happy. He rejoices in the fact that the wedding day is about the groom and not about him. I think we'd all agree that if a best man resentfully played second fiddle, that he'd be a pretty terrible best man. John's saying he's the best man, and he joyfully plays second fiddle to Jesus. But why? Why does John joyfully play second fiddle when it's human nature to want to play first fiddle? Let's look at verse 27 again. "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven." John understands who God is, and he rejoices in who God is. John knows that he can only receive what God gives him. God gave him the role of baptizing people and pointing them to Jesus the Messiah for the forgiveness of their sins. He knows he doesn't deserve that role, nor earn that role. God chose to give it to him. And God was choosing to take it away from him. Soon after, John would lose his head for being a preacher of righteousness. John's ministry was winding down while Jesus' ministry was starting up. And John was happy about that because his joy wasn't in himself. It was in Jesus. His role was to point people to Jesus. John understands who God is and he rejoices in who God is. What about us? Do we understand who God is? Do we rejoice in who God is? Do we understand who we are? That we didn't deserve to be alive, nor earn to be alive. But God created us. He gave us life. He brought us into this world for his glory, so we'd know him and love him and enjoy him. That's the only way we can joyfully play second fiddle to God. We need to understand who he is and rejoice in who he is. To know that God is God and we're not, and to rejoice in that. Now, this isn't a natural thing to do, is it? The natural human tendency is to do everything we can to play first fiddle. Joyfully playing second fiddle to God is a supernatural thing to do. And that's why we can only do it when we have the Holy Spirit. The only people in this world who joyfully play second fiddle to God are those who've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. So if you're here this morning and you know that you're not joyfully playing second fiddle to God, and you've never joyfully played second fiddle, then ask God to show mercy to you and ask him to give you his Holy Spirit, who will cause you to be born again and enable you to joyfully play second fiddle. He'll enable you to understand who God is and to rejoice in who God is, to love the fact that God is God and you're not. That's where true joy is found. He'll enable you to understand the depth of your sin in trying to play first fiddle and to truly seek God's forgiveness by trusting in Jesus and his death in your place. God made us to glorify him by knowing him and loving him and enjoying him. That's the only place where true and lasting joy is found. God always plays first fiddle. He created this world for his own purpose and his own glory. We always play second fiddle. And we can either do it begrudgingly or joyfully. But we will never play first fiddle. That's God's role, because he's God and we're not. And if we truly understand that, then we'll rejoice in who God is. And we'll be overwhelmed that he created us so we could experience the eternal joy of knowing him. The God who is infinitely glorious and infinitely kind. The God who sent his only Son to suffer and die in the place of sinners who deserved nothing but his wrath and judgment. This is the God who calls us to joyfully play second fiddle to him. And there is no greater joy than this. John knew this joy. Let's look at verse 29 again. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. So what does joyfully playing second fiddle look like day to day? God's agenda needs to be our agenda each day, because it's not about us. It's about him. We're not living for ourselves. We're living for him, the one who gave us life and gave us eternal life through his Son. And we joyfully live for God each day. We desire to please him in all that we do and say and think. We desire to do everything for his glory Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. God put us here to do everything for his glory, and not to do it reluctantly or begrudgingly, but to do it joyfully. And this is where true and lasting joy is found. Joy that's inexpressible and glorious. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. If we play second fiddle reluctantly or begrudgingly, we will stand before God one day and give an account of that, and we'll be punished for our wickedness. But if we play second fiddle joyfully, we will do so forever in God's very presence. And I hope and pray this will be true of each one of us here this morning. Let me close by reading Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Let's pray. Father, you are infinitely glorious and infinitely kind. Father, thank you for showing mercy to sinners like us, that in your infinite kindness you sent your only Son to suffer and die for our sins. Father, thank you. How can we not be filled with joy at such a thing, such a wonderful salvation? If we truly grasp this, it will cause us to be joyful, to rejoice in you each day. Father, please help us to joyfully play second fiddle to you, the God who is infinitely glorious and infinitely kind. We can't do this in our own strength. Because we're sinners, our natural tendency is to try to play first fiddle, when we just never will, because that's your role. So, Father, please help us to joyfully play second fiddle, to do it every day, to be conscious of this every day, putting you first and having great joy in being second. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that you have convicted through the preaching of your word, that you have made them aware that they have never been born again, that they have never experienced this joy of knowing you, that they don't know what this is like. Father, I pray that you would save them this very day, that you would graciously give them your Holy Spirit, who will cause them to be born again and open their blind eyes and hearts to see for who you really are, to see the glory of the gospel, and to be able to joyfully play second fiddle to you. Father, we pray these things through your Son and for your glory. Amen.